Welcome to the Gate Crashers podcast, where we storm the gates of publishing and dare to talk about the realities of the industry. I'm your ivory tower representative, Amanda Liedeke, literary agent and vice president at McGregor & Liedeke.
And I'm your self-publishing insider, Therese Crow, novelist and speaker.
I can only imagine that when you're trying to get published for so long, and you've got, you know, idea after idea that you've tried, there comes a point where you, and for some it's sooner rather than later, where you start to just say, is it time to self-publish? Is it time to just do it on my own and stop trying the traditional route? And so I thought it would be worthwhile talking about, at least from an agent's perspective, when would be the time to go all in with self-publishing and to pull that trigger and to do it?
Right. And you've had clients where you've counseled them for this project, your best option is to self-publish it.
Absolutely.
And it's time to stop trying to make something happen that it just seems like it's not going to happen.
Absolutely. I do it for my clients and I do it for people that I meet at conferences. If they have a book idea or if they've got something that fits one of these categories that we're going to talk about on this episode, if they have something that fits with that, then I'm going to be upfront with them. And I'm going to say, look, I think you need to self-publish. Like this is a self-published book. This is not the type of book that's going to get traditionally published.
Right.
Let's share what those categories are that I kind of have in my head about like what makes a book a self-published book or what makes an author's career come to the point where it's like, okay, it's time. It's time to do this. For the record, self-publishing can be a great option for authors. And I am fully supportive of it if it's done well, of course. So for fiction, the way that I kind of look at whether or not to self-publish a fiction book is a lot more basic than, or a lot more maybe simple than nonfiction. And that's probably because I've seen incredible novels get passed up by publishing houses. Mm-hmm. I've worked on projects where, you know, one editor will tell me that it's the best thing she's ever read, and yet no one buys it. So you can have an amazing novel and it never get published by a traditional publishing house.
That's so hard to hear.
It's just so hard to witness too. Like when it's just like, but this book is great. You know, I just want people to be able to read it, even if it's just like 500 people. Like I just want, you know, and they never will, because it's so hard to get in as a fiction author to get that first book. So hard. So I absolutely believe that there is a time and a place to self-publish your novel. I feel like, you know, it's time to self-publish your novel when one of two things are true. The first thing, when you are more prolific than your publisher can handle. So this is when you already have a publishing house. You've been writing books, you just write them faster than your publisher can keep up, right? Because the publisher, they might do two books a year, but they're probably not going to do more than that. And your readership, it depends. The traditionally published readership is not typically as voracious as the self-published readership, right? It really depends on genre. It really depends on genre. So depending on your genre, your readership could maybe handle 3 books a year or 12 books a year, you know, like, so you have to know your genre. But so that's,
I know people who self-publish 1 to 2 books every month consistently.
Yeah.
And it's just
mind-boggling. Yeah. And so like, if you're writing literary fiction, probably not going to go that, you know, you probably do one, like a couple, maybe one a year. But even then, I don't really know if I know of any literary fiction novelists that are that
it's hard
prolific.
To come up with it's hard to come up with things that are that profound to fill an entire book once a year.
Knowing your genre, knowing your audience, and if you get to the point where you can write faster than your publisher can publish, then just be smart about it. But then it might be time to self-publish. And then also the other time when you know that it's time, when you're unpublished, so you've got this book and no one wants to pick it up, or maybe you've tried a number of novels and no one wants to pick them up. So you have that where you're running into brick walls, but you can point to certain markers of success and acknowledgement that, yes, you are talented. So maybe you have an agent. Maybe you've won some awards. Maybe you've gotten very positive feedback from publishing houses. Maybe your book went to Pub Board. You know, those kinds of mile markers can tell you, yes, you might be ready to self-publish because clearly you're talented. Clearly you know how to tell a good story. You're just running into the issue of not every great book gets published. Right. So those are kind of like, as an agent, the indicators that I use when I'm talking with someone and trying to give them advice in their career. If I see that they're clearly talented, but they just can't get a deal, well, maybe it's time to right. just change directions and try self-publishing as a novelist. So for nonfiction, there are a bunch of different, I guess, situations in which I would say it's time for the author to self-publish. But first of all, let's give a lay of the land of nonfiction publishing. It's typically said that publishing houses are looking for great book ideas supported by great writing and a great platform. Those are the three components of what will make a publishing house say yes. And sometimes that you can get away with doing two out of the three. You right. can have, you know, a great idea with great writing, but maybe not a great platform. Although that's becoming harder and harder to do because platform is more and more important because we can't fake platform. We can,
right.
we can tweak a book idea to make it amazing. We can bring on a writer to make the writing amazing, but we can't fake a platform.
Right.
We can't buy a platform or, you know, bring someone in to like magically right. improve it. So more and more platform is king, and it's affecting all of the decisions that publishers are making. Consequently, there are nonfiction book ideas that are just great for self-publishing because they can't fit those parameters of what a traditional publishing house is looking for and what a traditional publishing house needs. Mm-hmm. And here are then those different nonfiction situations that I feel are great for self-publishing. The first is if you write prescriptive nonfiction, but you don't have a big platform. So prescriptive nonfiction is like how to lose weight, how to get control of your finances,
right.
How to help people out of a problem. You're providing answers and solutions. If you don't have a big platform, if you don't have, you know, hundreds of thousands of people, or even sometimes tens of thousands of people following you, then you're probably going to want to self-publish and you're going to have to self-publish to get your book out there. Another instance in which self-publishing is probably best is a memoir from someone who isn't an in-the-news celebrity or a big platform influencer. So if you just want to tell your story of being, you know, growing up in the South and your experience with whatever, it's just not going to fly with publishers unless you have some kind of celebrity name or, you know, a big following, again, platform. And of course, there always are exceptions to the rule, but for the most part, that right. book's not going to get picked up. I think a big exception to this memoir situation is if the writing is amazing. If it's like really beautifully written narrative, then it might get picked up without a platform. But even then, you're probably going to end up having to self-publish.
Right. Well, and you usually need a pretty incredible story for a memoir. It still yeah. needs to follow that three-act structure. I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be a rags-to-riches, word-for-word type story, but that kind of redemptive arc.
Yeah.
For a lot of people, like, day-to-day life just isn't normally that exciting.
Right. You need a pretty wild life. Mm-hmm. You need to come out of a cult, or you need to have, right. you know, extreme experiences around the world, or just mm-hmm. something really unusual and extraordinary that people like you and me are like, wow,
right?
This person, this is crazy.
How did they do it?
Right.
Yeah.
So you're absolutely right. And that's why most memoir ends up being self-published if it's a story, you know, because most of it is just quiet stories that mm-hmm. might be heart-wrenching and might have, you know, just really, really serious stuff happening, but it's nothing
unheard of.
Yeah. Books on illness, loss, or grief. I tend to direct those people towards self-publishing. And here's why. So almost every conference that I go to, I get pitched a cancer story, or I get pitched a story about the death of a loved one, like a child, like really tough stuff, right?
Right.
And those books, unfortunately, just don't, they don't get picked up by publishers, because as heart-wrenching and horrible as that story is and that person's journey is, a book on someone struggling with cancer just isn't something that a lot of people read about. So right.
Doesn't fit the escapism fantasy that we want to have right. when we sit down with a book of any genre. You want to believe that you're going to be able to lose the weight. You want to believe that the protagonist is going to save the world. You know, it's not a fun or safe or comfortable place to be. So I would think, like, unless your book is directly about this has happened to me and this has happened to you, this is how I got through it, you're going to get through it too. Mm-hmm. You know, like that kind of guiding you through a process. I can see how that would work. But books that are just about the loss, you're kind of missing closure there, you know?
Yeah. And then there, you know, when there is that like hope or the here's how to get through it, or here's like the good that came out of the bad, then it's like, okay, it comes back to the platform question and like, who are you and why are people going to want to read your story of loss over this celebrity's story of loss, or the celebrity's story of mental illness or whatever it may be. So those are just tough books to get publishing deals for, and they're tough books to get book sales for. There are a few projects that I've been a part of that have gone to press, and it's just, it can be a fight to get those sales because there just isn't this like huge audience for those kinds of heart-wrenching tales.
Right.
And what I tell folks when they pitch their book of illness, loss, or grief is maybe your story doesn't need to be a book. Maybe it can be an article. Because if you turn your story into an article, you can sell it to a bunch of different places and you can get it in front of hundreds of thousands of readers. Whereas if you publish a print book, you're lucky if you sell 1,000 copies. Like, so then that's what, 1,000 people who have read your story versus hundreds of thousands of people who would read your article. So
yeah, especially on the illness, loss, and grief topic, the people that I've met who have written those books or who want to write those books, really, they want to extend some kind of healing that they've received and offer that to others.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, doing an article really makes more sense if that's truly your goal is to pass on wisdom and peace to other people.
Yep.
Then get it in front of as many eyes as you can, even if it's not the original goal of having a published book.
Right. Right. Absolutely. You'll reach so many more people that way. Another type of book idea that I think is great for self-publishing and probably should head that way are the types of book ideas that just don't stand out in the market, but those people have following. So like, here's an example, the self-help motivational sector. Most of those books just kind of say the same thing, right? So it's rare that there's a self-help motivational book that has a new way of being your best self, right? Like they all boil down to the same general ideas, but many of those people writing them have significant platforms, or they have people who, you know, love what they have to say on the topic.
Right.
So while those people may not be able to get a traditional book deal because their content isn't that new or interesting, they are great for self-publishing because they already have their following established. It's just a matter of writing the book and getting it out there and then, you know, selling those copies.
And I want to remind everybody that the royalties that you get from self-publishing versus traditional publishing are vastly different in percentages. So if you were to sell 20,000 copies of your book with a traditional publisher, it's unlikely that you would be picked up for another book because that's just not enough for them to stay in the black. It's just not outstanding enough. If you were to sell 20,000 copies of that same book, self-published, and let's say you only list it for $3.99 on Amazon, at $3.99, you get 70% of those royalties. That's $55,000 for 20,000 copies of one book. So just because it's not being picked up, just because a publisher says not enough people will read it, they're saying not enough people will read it for it to make sense
right.
in our accounting books. That does not necessarily mean that not enough people will read it for it to make sense for your accounting books.
Yeah. And so that's a reason why my next point is that I direct people to self-publish sometimes when I see that they have a big following and they have the means to put together a great book and the desire and time to do so. Mm-hmm. When they have all of that, like when they clearly have the business sense, the organizational ability, they've got their following, why wouldn't you just self-publish some books? I mean, they could do traditional publishing too.
Right.
They could do both and then have best of both worlds. But when I see people who are just those like natural go-getters, do it themselves kind of people, sometimes they're happiest just putting together their own content.
Yep.
So, and there's no reason to put them with a traditional publisher just for them to be frustrated because it takes too long or, you know, whatever the complaint will
right.
be. And then last, I think it's time to self-publish when really your desire to write and publish boils down to you want to tell your story and you want your friends and family to be able to read it. That is, I mean, that is just such a great fit for self-publishing because you can get your book, your story out there and it can be there for your grandkids and your kids and your friends, like everyone that you just want them
right.
to know about your life. And that's just a great way to like leave that legacy. Of course, with all of these self-publishing needs to be coupled with a strategy for success, which we will be discussing in next week's show. But I hope like this kind of gives the agent's perspective of like what kind of book pitch is an automatic fit for self-publishing and when should an author consider to self-publish, because I know for many it feels like they're giving up on their dream when they
right.
do that, and it shouldn't feel that way. It should be a business decision that makes sense. And that's how I try to approach it when I give advice to authors. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Gatecrashers podcast. If you like what you hear, leave a review and be here next week for a brand new episode.